I'd like if you take the Word of God, please, and for a brief moment, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1 and verse 1. This is not a long message, but it is a very important one. And I pray about these particular emphases when we gather together in special meetings. In a special way, I pray that God will help me be appropriate and always be biblical. I think God has given us His work to do in simplicity and godly sincerity. Simplicity means singleness of mind and godly sincerity, sincerity toward God, that our look is always the upward look. We're always pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us know as Christians we could become what the world knows as Grinches about things, because there's some things we understand our problems. There's too much materialism made of Christmas, too much fanfare given to the world concerning Christmas, and often too little witnessing at perhaps the greatest moment of the year to give the gospel. Because people are thinking about Jesus Christ and knowing something at least about what Christmas means. And we fail when we don't give a clear presentation. And in a special way, especially to those people that we know and love who near us and live near us. But I want us to pray just a moment, and then I want to read a verse of Scripture and give you just a few things. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy love to us. We thank Thee for the moving and working of Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that in this stillness, our hearts would be quieted toward Thee, and that we'd be able to understand and apply these truths to our lives. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark that expression, "most surely believed among us." At times I get disappointed with some of you, just like you get disappointed with me. Some of you ought to be terribly disappointed about yourselves. Terribly disappointed about yourself. Because you can rattle off about everything you believe, but express no real rock-rib convictions about God's Word and God's Son. For you, the Christian life is almost no more than it is to the world. Just things lightly scattered together that become some sort of conversation piece. But here the gospel writer, with pen in hand, says, "I'm going to write this record, this gospel record, and I'm going to repeat things to you. Nothing new, nothing that hasn't been known by someone. The things I'm going to write are most surely believed among us." Most surely believed among us. So if you ask a Christian, there's a body of truth, an irreducible body of truth. We don't take anything else away from it. This is what we believe as Christians. And you could not truthfully say that you're a child of God and you're a Christian, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you believed these specific things. You're not just identified with people who say they're Christians. These are the things that you hold dear in your heart. If someone buttonholed you and said, "What does a Christian believe?" you could answer with these specific things. And in reality, as you work your way through the gospel according to Luke, which we're not going to do, this is what you would find. You find these truths that are distinctively Christian. Now, I want you to hold your place here just for a moment and turn with me to what the Apostle Paul wrote the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, one verse of Scripture, the 13th verse. The Bible says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Let's look at this verse just for a moment. He says, as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. In other words, when I open my mouth and talk about the Christian faith, it's what I have in my heart. I believe, and I am speaking what I believe. He says at the conclusion of the verse, we also believe, and therefore speak. I want you to know, not just once in your life, but many times in your life, someone is going to confront you. And they're going to find out from you what you believe. And you're going to have the opportunity to identify with biblical Christianity and with what we could say is truly believed among us. When someone meets you and finds out you're part of the Temple Baptist Church, they should be able to assume you having been a part of the Temple Baptist Church, this is what you believe. And you ought not be ashamed of it. You stand on the Word of God. You may use expressions like we believe the Bible is the sole authority for our faith and practice. But the truth of the matter is, not only do you believe the Bible is the sole authority for your faith and practice, but you can say, these specific things I believe about the Word of God. The point I want to make is very simple. People are leaving the Christian faith. I had a long list of statistical things I thought I would read to you. And how faith is being diminished by so many people who now say they're Christians. Soon, by the word of some people who claim to be authorities, in our country, the fastest growing religion will not be Christianity. And the largest number of people professing faith in the world will not be Christians. I'm not sure if that's the truth, but it's what a lot of people like to say. Because the Christian faith, though it may be diminishing in certain parts of our country, is exploding with evangelism and growth in certain other parts of the world. There's no doubt in our minds about that because that's what we read. But I'm concerned about us. I'm concerned if you live to be 20 years older than you are now. I'm concerned if you're a 10-year-old or 11-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old or a 16-year-old. I'm deeply concerned if you're going to stand tall for God and say, I'm anchored in the Word of God and anchored in my Christian faith. And this is not just something I say I believe. It is my life. It is the way I live my life. It is such a part of my life, you could say it's just the normal way I live. And I want to ask you this question. I said I'd speak on the subject. Do you still believe in Christmas? I'm just trying to get your attention. Christmas is not about characters and Santa Claus and Christmas trees and lights. And we're talking about the birth of Christ and who He is and His claims to be the Son of God. And I want you to be able to stand and say someday, what I was taught as a child, what I heard in my Sunday school, what was given to me from the preaching of our church, what I claim to be my faith as a young person, as a child, is what I'm still claiming as a grown person, adult, a father, a mother, or even someday as a grandparent. It has to pass the test. It has to make the journey. I started serving the Lord when I was 17 years old. I served God because it was a natural thing to do. I gave my life to Christ as a 14-year-old, and I gave my desires and future and all that I was to the Lord as a 17-year-old. As a senior in high school, I surrendered my life to the Lord. And from time to time, people say to me, have things changed around me? Yes. Some even deny the faith. But my convictions about God and His Word have only strengthened. I still believe what I was taught and confirmed in my speech that I believed as a young person. And I want you to know that I'm expecting our young people to never turn from their faith. I'm expecting our young people to grow up to be men and women who lead in this church. I'm expecting our young people to be the mothers and fathers of the future generation of children who have been taught right down the line the same things you've been taught, without varying, without any lacking. You're going to hold to the same truth that you've been taught in the days of your youth. And you still believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. Men are weeping to me, grown men, two recently. One who's a pastor, who's been a pastor for, I imagine, nearly half a century. And where he gave his life has all been changed. Another is a college and seminary president who is brokenhearted because things have changed, courses have been changed. I mean by that direction. And I want you to know that I have every right to expect, because the Bible liveth and abideth forever, that what you've been taught and what you've affirmed as a Christian, as a child, as a young person, you're going to stay with as an adult, as you age, and God blesses you with your own home to lead. And I expect this. And if what you say today about Christ and Christmas, you may mature as a human being and think more like an adult, but as far as your convictions and faith are concerned, they're going to remain the same, exactly the same, as they are this day. Amen. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?